If you have a Bible, turn to Judges chapter 6. Just before we pray, I would really encourage you to read the whole story of Gideon in one sitting. It'll take you about 10 minutes. You know, if you haven't read it, or if you haven't read it for some years, I remember I went to Bible college and they were discussing, should we pray for fleeces or not? And I was thinking, who's Gideon? Who's Gideon? And, you know, I just didn't know who Gideon was. You know, obviously we'll come to the fleece at some point. Judges 6, verses 11 to 16. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Father, I come to you in my weakness and I ask that you would make me strong. I ask, Lord, that you would use me to convey hope and faith and encouragement to your people. Father, we love you, and we love it when you speak to us, so I ask you to speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. An angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Who, me?" No, it doesn't say that, does it? "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And what? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' Rather, the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." It's an interesting passage of scripture. If you look at just above it, in most of our Bibles, it says the call of Gideon. There's like a subtitle. That subtitle isn't in the Hebrew. Although in the Psalms, the titles of the Psalms are there. But so that's just something that to help us find our way around the call of Gideon. And Gideon was a called man. The Lord said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the land of Midianite. Do I not I send you?" So he's called to save Israel. So there's a call on Gideon's life. And God tells Gideon to go. Go in the might that he had, and he'll save Israel. And, you know, he'd seen 7 years of oppression, and he's the weakest, he's the smallest, and God calls him. He says, "Go, mighty man of valor." He wanted Gideon to be God's man for this hour. I mean, we need a man for this hour in our nation, don't we? Or a woman. I kind of think a woman would do a lot better than all the men at the moment, but I don't know. But I want to say this, is that God has called you. The call of Gideon is a calling, but we're called too. Every one of us is called by God. We're called to extend the kingdom of God. We're called to bear fruit. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to love God. We're called to love people. We're called to love our neighbors. We're called to walk in purity. We're called to walk in God's by the leading of the Holy Spirit, should I say. We're called to change our world, you know. Unfortunately, I'm not a member of Parliament. I can't change Parliament, but I can pray for Parliament. Amen. So if you're sitting there sort of saying, "Well, what a bunch of mess," or what have you, criticizing them, doesn't help. My criticism doesn't help them, but my prayers can help them. Amen. I'm called to overcome. I'm called to prosper. And I'm a great one believing for prosperity, because as I prosper, I can become a blessing to people in the world. Amen? I'm called to walk in victory. I'm called to do great exploits with my God. I'm called to show the world what Jesus looks like. We're all called. And for some of us, that calling finds a sense of clear purpose. But just because you're not sure, well, you haven't had a word like Alex, it doesn't mean you're called. You don't need a word like Alex. You need a word that's already in the scriptures. And we can respond like Gideon, who me? Who me? But the wonderful thing about Gideon is he said, who me? But then he did it anyway. You could say, I'm too weak, too afraid, too inadequate. It might be all true, but God still calls you. Turn to John chapter 15 with me, and we'll just have a look at this for a few minutes before we progress. I think John 15 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In verse 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. I mean, it's just fantastic. We're looking at Judges 6, not John 15. But there's this thing about chosen, 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 chosen. Unless you're like super good looking or super funny or super athletic or super this or super that, you get sort of thrown into the rest. Were you ever thrown into the rest in school? You know, I don't want to go on about me and my brother because, you know, you probably think I need healing. But there's a rest, isn't it? It's like, you know, I never won a school prize. Anybody never win a school prize? You know, look, we're in good company. You know, I don't want to give you my nevers, but I can give you my nows. God looked at me and he said, I want him in my team. I didn't choose him. He chose me and he revealed himself to me that I would follow him. And then he didn't choose me to make up numbers. You're not here to make up numbers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not here to make up the numbers. No, 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 no. He chose you to be fruitful. And yes, it has a couple of dimensions. There's the fruit of character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but there's also the fruit of service. So God wants us to be fruitful in our character and fruitful in our service. So I'm called and I'm chosen and I'm not proud of it. I'm like Gideon. Who, me? Yes, you. Verse 15 of Judges 6. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Please, Lord. How can I make a difference in my family? Please, Lord, how can I see one of my neighbors saved? Please, Lord. Please, Lord, how can this church save Wales or make a difference in Wales or change a community? Please, Lord, we're like the smallest church around and we're not, you know, we don't have a clan, we're it. You know, Lydia goes to a city church, Elam, and they're like, but they're part of a clan, you know, 600 of them, 600, you know, they get the clans together, thousands come together. This is it. This is it. We're not part of a clan. So please, Lord, how? Please, Lord, I'm the weakest. And you might think that of yourself. How could I make a difference? How could I? God doesn't choose as we choose. It's like, you know, if you were the manager of Real Madrid, you buy the most expensive player in the world. You just choose the best. And for obvious reasons, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but God doesn't seem to do that. He goes, oh, I'll have him. You know. When I was a kid, we used to get this comic called The Tiger. Anybody watch The Tiger? Read The Tiger? There's one. There's one, two, three. Okay. The Tiger. It was like a comic. And in the Tiger, there was this strip, and it was called Billy's Boots. And what happened was Billy had bought these boots that belonged to a retired English international. And when he put these boots on, he was like Messi. He was like, you know, Ronaldo, and he could play football and he would be like scoring goals and they think he was amazing. But when he took his boots off, He'd just be useless. Couldn't hit a ball. Because the success was in the boots, not in the feet. And it's a bit like us. Our success is not in us, it's in Christ. So if my feet are in Christ, then I can score the goals. If my feet are in Christ, I can do everything that he calls me to do. Because it's not Billy's boots, it's Christ's anointing. It's not Billy's boots, it's Christ's suffering. It's not Billy's boots, it's Christ's love. And that changes everything. Please, sir, how can I save Israel? I think about a little boy, about 17 maybe. And he goes to visit his brothers. And goes to the battlefield, and there's this massive giant Goliath. And David goes, I'll take him down. I'll take him down. And he said, as the Lord was with me with the bear and the lion, the Lord will be with me with this monster of a man. And Saul said, put my armor on. And so he put it on. He goes, I can't wear this. I haven't tested it. Takes it off. It's like we can't be somebody else. God didn't pick David to be Saul. He picked David to be David. God didn't pick you to be. He picked you to be you. And if you ever think, I don't know if you ever think, oh, I wish I could be like so-and-so, and I wish I could be so, like, I don't often think like that. I don't think I ever think like that, but it's like, I am who I am, by the grace of God. You're here not because of your outward appearance. Do you remember that? God chose David not because of his outward appearance. Do not look at on his appearance or his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. This is David's brother. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You're here because God saw something in your heart he liked. You're not here because of the outward appearance. I'm called because God saw my heart and he liked it. And I don't know why, but he did. And I don't know how, but he has. God looks at the heart. And we're called into his family. He looks at our heart. And then when he sets us to work, he doesn't look at the outward man. You don't have to be 6'3" and full of muscles. And you just need to be yourself. Gideon wasn't called because he was the strongest warrior in the strongest clan. On the contrary, he was the weakest warrior in the weakest clan. And that's why God called him. And see, God calls in a different way. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 1, Paul helps us understand that. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, for consider your calling. Can you tell us you never say, you're called. You are called. We are called by the living God. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the world standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world. Everything that are not to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. So he chooses weak people, he chooses foolish people, he chooses people of ordinary people, not of noble birth, in the main. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. He looked around and he said, oh look, there's Gideon. Boy's got a good heart, I can see that. Bit afraid, but I'm going to choose that boy because, you know, I can work with that boy. Because he's so weak, he comes from a weak family, there's his name... any way that he's going to take my glory for what I'm going to do for Midian. And God chose him. You should do a study of unlikely heroes in the Bible. It's full of them. When you start making excuses about yourself, then you just play into the devil's hands. Oh, I'm too old. Anybody said I'm too old? Oh, I'm too this. I'm too poor. I'm too foolish. I'm too weak. I'm too... It's just a lie. do you know, Ilga could be up here and he could be singing away and we're all worshipping God thinking, I'm too Korean. That's the lie of the devil. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. You know? He knows what I'm talking about, don't you, Ilga? You're not too Korean. And you're not too Welsh. It's whether or not your kingdom. It is the kingdom of God that calls us. Excuse, 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 excuse. Don't make excuses. It's the devil's territory. Here I am, Lord, use me. But I'm too this, too that. When I was, how old was I? 20 years old, God spoke to me to go on Go Team. So I that's where I met my wife. Because I went on Go Team, I had three beautiful daughters. It just changed my whole life, the direction of my life, because I obeyed God. But you know, when I obeyed God, it was one of these self-supporting things where you funded yourself, and it was like £2,200, I think. In the 80s, a lot of money, £2,200. And I didn't have a bean. I went for an interview, and they said, okay, what you need to do is have half the money plus a reference from your pastor. So I went to my pastor and I was so excited, you know, Kim did this to me as well. She's so excited. God's called her to Bible college. And I said, oh, that's okay. That's because I'm trying to process. Is that a good thing? And I was trying to be really pastoral, but there was no enthusiasm. I didn't say you shouldn't go, but I'm just trying to say what's right in God. You know, this is back 2 years ago. And my pastor just said, no, I won't give you a reference and you can't go. It's not God's will. Just killed me dead. But I feared God. I don't care. I mean, he didn't say that, but said no money, no permission to go. And I went away on holiday. I went to Hong Kong for 2 weeks to see my dad. Went to church and somebody pointed me out of the church and said, stand up, young man. And said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. He'll make a way, sit down. And it was just, I knew what he was talking about and so forth. Everything turned around because it wasn't my strength and my persuasiveness. I got my permission, I got enough money, just God did it. And that's what we've got to see. Gideon says, who am I? It's not by your strength, it's not by your power, it's not by your might, it's by the Spirit of God. And if we get into partnership with the Spirit of God, all things happen. Everything becomes possible. When we're in our own strength and our own flesh, then there is no way we're going to do what God calls us to do. Gideon was not called because of his strength. He was called because God could shape and change him. He was called because he was humble and weak. We might be the weakest clan in Wales. Do you know, God likes working with weak people. I'm sure you've all heard the story of Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers was a bit like, he was a weakling in school, I don't know if he was asthmatic. Do you know, he's just one of those kids, Steve Rogers. And he was a frail young man, but the American military took him in and they enhanced him to the peak of human perfection by an experimental serum to aid the US government's war effort against the Nazis. And he became Captain America. Now, Captain America's story is complete fiction. But God takes frail, weak individuals, enhances them with his grace, so they become strong and do great exploits. So on a Brighton beach in 1850, there's a weak young man who was a failed missionary, had really bad health, and God said, go to China, go to the inland provinces. And that man was Hudson Taylor, and he listened to and obeyed the word of God, and he went to China. They said he would die in 2 years, he lived 45 more years, and China's changed because that man, that Steve Rogers of the kingdom, became Captain Kingdom. And now the biggest church in the world is in China. And now it's not just because of Hudson Taylor, it's because of God, and totally God. But God took Hudson Taylor. God can take us. Because we're called. This is exactly what God did with Gideon. He took a Steve Rogers and made a Captain America. And that's what he wants to do with us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, they call it. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith. But it talks about Gideon, and it says this in verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, because became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. This is what happened to Gideon. He became from weakness to strength. God took him from weakness to strength. He became mighty in battle. He put foreign armies to flight, conquered kingdoms. This is Gideon, weak Gideon, because God got a hold of him, and by faith he went from weakness to strength. Faith in what? Faith in his call. Faith in the word of God. He said, I'm going to receive the call, Lord, and I'm going to follow. And we know it was all a bit ropey, and we can see that in the text. He was a bit like me and you. Is it really me, Lord? Well, let's test this. Let's try this. But it was. And then God said, I've got a weak man I can make a kingdom changer. God isn't looking for our strength. He's looking for our obedience and our faith and our weakness, because out of that, he can use us to change something and do something amazing. By faith in God, they were made strong out of weakness. Whatever your weakness, God can make you strong. Gideon defeated Midian. He said, Lord, I'm so weak. Why me? Why not? Why you? Why not? Do you know, when I was in Hong Kong, we used to go to the Ham Foot Camp where Jackie Pullinger was. And she told this story that stuck with me, and I've said it a few times here, is that at one point they were harboring a prostitute that had come to faith and decided to follow Jesus. And they had hidden her from the triads, or the people who owned her. And so the triad leader said he wanted to set up a meeting with Jackie, and Jackie went, and she said she was like really shaking and scared, and she went, and he said, give me my girl back. And she said, no, she belongs to Jesus now. And he said, give me my girl back or there'll be consequences. She said, no, she belongs to Jesus. And the guy left. And she said, courage wasn't feeling strong, it was doing the right thing. It's not a feeling. Courage is to do the right thing. And though she was scared, what she didn't know was when she went into that room, the triad gang leader saw her and she was shining with God's glory. And he was scared of her. And that's why he left. And it wasn't much longer that he got saved, he got delivered of his heroin addiction, and he came into the kingdom himself. See, we mustn't think that courage means to feel like Superman. We don't always feel like that. Courage is to do the right thing. And when God calls us, courage is to follow. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24 says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He'll do it. He who calls you is faithful. He'll do what he says. He'll give what he's promised. Because he who calls you is faithful. Whatever your weakness, whatever you're facing, he who calls you is faithful. He will give you strength. My first job after coming back from the Far East, no, it's my second job actually, I was a road sweeper. And I used to sweep the roads of Pyle, Kenvick Hill. And to get to the depot, I had to walk 2 miles. In whatever weather, I'd walk from my house to the council depot. That would be a 2 mile walk. And then they would drive me to the it was like a what would you call it, a trolley thing. I had my shovel and I had my brush and I was on my trolley. And I'd walk around for 6 or 8 hours doing that, and then they'd pick me back up again, drive me home. Then I'd walk 2 miles home again. So I did a lot of walking. And I could have felt really sorry for myself, and maybe sometimes I did. But there's one song I used to play again and again and again. And I looked at the lyrics, and this was my song as my road sweeper. Every day I look to you to be the strength of my life. You're the hope I hold on to, be the strength of my life. Be the strength of my life, strength of my life. Be the strength of my life today. Be the strength of my life, strength of my life. Be the strength of my life today. Bit repetitive, really. But I'm looking for God's strength to do what I'm called to do. God's strength. And at that season in my life, I was in Porthcawl in not the greatest circumstances, but it was the right place to be. And I wanted God to be my strength. And see, wherever you are and wherever you live and whatever you're doing, we need God to be our strength. Be the strength of our life today. You are called. We are called. Called by the living God. So here I am. I'm called by the living God. And I just wanted to give 5 things to maybe help you. Where do I start? From weakness to strength. What do I do? The first thing we learn from Gideon is you need to go. The angel of the Lord said to Gideon, in verse 14, go in this might of yours. Okay? You start where you are. Whatever strength you have, whatever resources you have, whatever, just go as you are, in the strength that you've got. And you know, Midian couldn't slay an army. Maybe he couldn't even kill one Midianite. But he went. And we've got to go. And sometimes we just need to do it afraid. Make the decision you're going to go to live for Jesus. Just make that decision. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he calls me to do. Ask him, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do with my life? Here I am. Who do you want me to reach with my life? And then when he speaks to you, go in the might that you have. Philippians 4 verse 13 we know is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ will strengthen you when you go in the might that you have. You know, sometimes I'm in situations I don't feel qualified, I don't feel trained, I don't feel wise, I just feel like, you know, what am I doing here sometimes? And I have to rely on the strength God gives. I can do everything he calls me to do. Because of Christ's strength, not my strength. And sometimes, you know, just like Friday morning I'm praying, or was it Friday afternoon? I just need God to strengthen me, God to give me wisdom, because I feel weak and inadequate. And I humble myself before him and I say, God, you've got to help me. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to go in the strength I have, because I know when I take a step of faith and I go, God adds strength to me. So go. The second thing I think you need to do is walk in love. The Midianites, that word means strife. They brought strife to the nation. And the enemy seeks for us to get into strife with one another. Because churches getting in strife with one another just weakens us. So we have all these wonderful promises of God, and then we get into strife. We get into conflict. We don't walk in love. And then it becomes useless. There is no power where there's no love. We go, but we walk in love. You've heard me say before, I choose the love road. And if I don't know what love looks like, I say, God, what does it look like, Lord? What does it look like in this situation? Colossians 3 verse 14 says, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Do you see that? The Midianites came with strife, and God says, well, let's put love on. Because if we put love on, perfect love, agape love, then it binds us together in harmony. It was quite On Saturday, Lydia came home, and Lydia was talking, and Naomi was talking, and Jane was talking, and I was talking in the kitchen, and we're all talking at the same time about different things. So I don't know if that happens in your house or what have you. It's kind of, but there was this lovely harmony. It's not that harmony means completely the same, or we think completely similar, but it's a love thing. And when you get harmony in a church, when you get love in a church, and there's no strife, it's just so lovely. And God says, look, there's unity there. There's no strife. Psalm 133, I'll command my blessing on them. So we've got to walk in love. I heard something from Robbie Howells yesterday that really hit home to me. He said, the enemy has no weapon or defense against love. I just thought, wow. The enemy has got nothing against love. And if I keep walking in love, there's nothing you can do to stop what God wants to do. Number three. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Number one, go. Number two, walk in love. Number three, be strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Okay, if we go to verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So here's Gideon saying, I'm the weakest of the weakest. And that's okay to be the weakest of the weakest, because we've got to be strong in the Lord. I started weak, but I receive his strength. His power is perfected in weakness. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us. You know, and I know I've tried doing a lot of things in my own strength, and it's been hard work. And then I've done some things where I've just caught the strength of God, and it's just been so easy. It's been like effortless. And I think God wants us to see, if you look at the story of Gideon, it's like 300 of them defeat a whole army. It was just like effortless. It was like miraculous. It was like they just turned up and the battle was won. Because the battle belongs to the Lord, not to us. We don't fight devils. We don't fight demons. We stand against them. And we stand in the strength that God gives us. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. So if you're feeling a bit weak in your faith, we've got to be strong in God, not in our own human weaknesses. Sometimes I can feel really weak, but I have to go to God and say, God, give me your strength that I could be strong in the Lord. Turn with me to, keep your finger there, but turn with me to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Here's some verses that you might remember, or it might be good for you to recall. Verse 28, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. If I wait on God, if I wait in the Lord, there's something where I can get strength. He gives strength to those who have no might. And he gives power to the faint. If you are fainting, if you feel weak, there is a source of strength. There is a source of might. It's God who created the heavens and earth. For goodness sake, of course he can help you. Of course he can give you what you need. Of course he can empower you to live the way he calls you to live. There is a strength that comes from God that enables you to do it. For me, the best picture of this is Popeye. We all know Popeye, don't we? Popeye before spinach is no match for Brutus. Popeye after spinach, Brutus is no match for Popeye. Let me tell you, if I receive God's strengthening, nobody's a match for me. When I do it in my own strength, watch out, I'm going to fall on my face. You know, I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I used to watch that as a kid. I need Holy Ghost spinach. I like to call that grace. The grace of God is available to me. He gives more grace, the Bible says. He gives more grace. He gives more grace. Don't stay in the grace you have. Receive more. Be strong in God. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the strength of his might. So here's Gideon saying, I can't do that. I'm no good. I'm too weak. I'm the weakest. But go in the might that you have. So go. Walk in love. And then stand in the might God gives you. We can, we can, we can, we can. Because God empowers us. Number four. Let's stick with this. Verse 14. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, this could be six sermons, so I'm just going to very briefly touch on this. We need to put on the armor of God. But for me, this talks about the lifestyle that I'm living, rather than waking up in the morning and thinking, right, I've got to put a belt on and a helmet on and a breastplate on. There's no physical armor of God. But it's like the belt of truth. I've got to live in the Word. I've got to live in the truth. I've got to live in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. It's the belt of truth. It holds everything together. And you know, when we start to err from the truth of God's word, then we start to get ourselves in trouble. Second thing, he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. I need to live from the position of being righteous rather than trying to get righteous. I'm not trying to get righteous. Righteousness was given to me because he who knew no sin became sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God. So when you look at me, I am the righteousness of God. That's my breastplate. So when the enemy comes to condemn me, he is the condemner, the accuser of the brethren. I have this breastplate on, which is I'm walking in the righteousness that God gave me every day. I don't take it off in that sense, but I walk in it. Shed your feet with the gospel of peace. We need to live on mission. Live on mission, not go on mission. It's different. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. We live on mission. So that means that means we're an extension of his commandment. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We live in this place rather than at the end of October, go to Korea. No, Korea is an event within. But it's like, I've got to reach the lost. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and save those who were lost. And we're the Son of Man now. We're the extension. We're the body of Christ. And it's having a heart that says, Lord, I'm ready to go. But go doesn't mean all becoming missionaries or becoming pastors. Some of you will go in schools or in garages or in hospitals or in different places that you work and be. So really interesting. It says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. It doesn't say when everything's going well, take up the shield of faith because you can be a happy Christian. It says, in all circumstances. You know, we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. So God wants us to walk by faith in what he's said, not in sight by what we see. You think about Gideon, the first moment he'd see the army of Midianites, he'd have panicked and he'd have legged it. He's got 300 men and they're thousands upon thousands. And he thought, no, he's walking by faith. Faith in what? God's word. What God said. That's the shield of faith, because the enemy will come to attack us. All the fiery darts of the enemy. He will attack you and rob you of your faith. That's why Jesus says, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? Walk by faith. Live by faith. Faith in what God says. Hold fast the word of God. Hold fast to your confession. What has God said to you? Because the enemy will come to rob you of your confession. The enemy will come to steal you of the things God has said to you. You know, there's a lot of people that are no longer in the church now that God called, that had enthusiasm, that had faith, that had love. But along the way, something has happened and now they're just shipwrecked. They may never deny Jesus, but let me tell you this, they're not living for him. In all circumstances, the helmet of salvation, spiritually speaking, it provides hope and protects the mind from what the enemy would seek to do. It's like we are saved in Christ Jesus. And then we're being saved as we walk and we're being perfected in him. And we will be saved at his return. Isn't that exciting? It's like you look on TV and it's Boris and Jeremy. And all the stuff going on there, but Christ is coming back. You know, maybe we'll never have Brexit. Maybe it'll never happen because Christ comes back soon. I mean, the way they're going, it's going to be a long time, isn't it? Now, I'm not for or against Brexit in that sense. I'm just saying my hope is not in what happens. My goodness, if I wasn't trusting in God, I would be concerned by what I see in Westminster. But my hope is in Christ alone. My hope is in what he says in his word. This whole country could go to the dogs. But I'll go to the Lord. And I'll trust him for what he says. Now, of course, we don't want that to happen. I've got to be careful. I don't want to be politically commentating too much. Pray for them. Pray for them. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to speak the word of God. We need to speak the word of God over ourselves. We need to make that our place and our position. It's like the only offensive thing we have against the enemy is the word of God. When the devil came to Jesus to tempt him, what did Jesus use? He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus saw this as the word of God. It is written. So when we speak the word of God and we use the word of God, it's just the thing that Jesus used and spoke. And it is written. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Do you know, I don't know how many people speak in tongues or can speak in tongues, but how many people do speak in tongues? Praying at all times with the Spirit. At all times is at all times. God gives us this gift. The Bible says it builds us up, builds up our inner man, and we can speak with a language. We speak the languages of angels and men in the Holy Ghost to build ourselves up in. And I want to encourage you, speak in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. Do you know, it's just the barometer of how I feel about things. Generally, I can mark it to how much I'm speaking in tongues. Do you know, if I'm speaking in tongues a whole lot, it just does something. It builds me up. It encourages me. The more I speak in tongues, and do you know, And if I'm not, usually I can feel it. Now, in two or three weeks, we're going to do a first base on baptism in the Holy Ghost. baptism in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues and you want to speak in tongues, God wants you to have this gift. It is the most amazing thing. I remember when I was 19 when I heard about it, and I really struggled with it. You know, how do I speak in tongues? How do you do that? And I read this little book. It said, pray this prayer and words will come up. And there was nobody. And I remember I was on the MTR, the Mass Transit Railway in Hong Kong. Just, was I speaking in tongues or wasn't I speaking? Could I say? And I said something, but you know, it was like the enemy just came and robbed that. Oh, that's not speaking in tongues. That's gobbledygook. That's not speaking in tongues. And then from May till about the November, do I speak in, can I? And I didn't speak in tongues anyway. And then I went to a Marilyn Harry meeting. And she says, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I thought, that's me. I want that. I want everything God's got. I'm taking that. So I went down the front like a sort of a spotty 19-year-old. And she goes, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I said, I don't know. And it was almost like, well, I don't care. Boom, she prayed for me, and I fell over on the floor, and I came out like a river, speaking in the Holy Ghost, speaking, was I speaking in tongues? Yes, I could. It wasn't like, it was like a river, and I've been doing it ever since. If you don't speak in tongues, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's like, it doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't. It doesn't make you more spiritual. It doesn't. It just builds you up. It's a bit like there's two types of people in this world that have gym membership. Guess which one I'm in? I'm like in the one that plods along and does. I go regularly, but I never look like him. You know, ribbed and everything. It's like there's a couple of people baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's the ones that still speak in tongues regularly, and there's something about their spirit man that's ribbed. And there's those that, well, I can speak in tongues, but I don't really know what the point is. And did I really speak in tongues? And pretty soon the devil just robs it from you. We want to get ribbed in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if that's a Bible term. It's just a picture, really. You know. But it's just like, do you want to come and see my six pack? You know, I'm not going to take my shirt off, praise God. But, you know, if we're going to stay away from the gym, I just get in trouble, eh? So, pray. So, well, let me read the scripture. Praying at all times in the Holy Ghost. Maybe we should just come here next Sunday and say, right, we're going to have two groups of people. Those that can pray in the Holy Ghost, we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost for 2 hours. And those that can't, we're going to pray for them in the other room for 2 hours till they can. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Praying at all times. Get in your car on the way home. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Slap yourself. Come on, get off the telly. Pray in the Holy Ghost at all times. We want a victory in this world. I want to be strong so that I'm prepared against everything the devil can throw at me. Praying at all times in the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit. ESV is Spirit. KJV, Holy Ghost. Let's get this armor on. Let's live this way. That's what it says there. Live on the go. Live in the righteousness God gives us. Live by faith. Live in the salvation that we've received from Christ. Live using the Word of God. And live praying in the Holy Ghost. Number 5, my last one. Ephesians 6 verse... Oh, let's go back. Praying at all times in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? All times. Do you want to everybody stand up? Go and find somebody. Tell them, pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. Pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. Okay, sit down then. I'm just trying to get a point over. Man, I'm convicted. I don't pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. And it's not a competition to see who prays the most. Okay, who does 10 minutes? 15 minutes, 20. Pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. Okay, number five. Oh. Pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. That should be number five. We'll do number four. Put on the armor of God. Number five, pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. Number six. Steve, you need to pray at all times in the Holy Ghost. Marilyn, do you want to slap him? Tell him, come on, get him going. Number five, we'll go back to my original. Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That's number four. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. Number five is having done all, stand. We need to stand until our deliverance manifests. Circumstances are subject to change, but the word of God is eternal. It's just a matter of time. Tell your neighbor, just a matter of time. When we were first married, we used to watch this show on TV in the 90s. It was called Gladiator. Anybody remember Gladiator? The gladiators, yeah. And in this show, there used to be, you know, for these younger ones that don't remember, you'd have these athletes, you know, strong, muscle-bound monsters of men. And then you'd have pretty fit, small, normal people. Not like me, fit, but pretty small. And they go up against each other and they'd have competitions. And if they could achieve a certain amount, the person would win some points. And then it's on YouTube if you really want to know about it. But the gladiators, they had names like this. Wolf, warrior, rhino, hunter, Saracens, Trojans. Just picture beasts of men. And there would be a contender. And the referee would go, ready contender. Ready. Ready gladiator. Arrgh! They wouldn't talk, they just roar. And I am exaggerating a bit. But one of the games they played was a game called Duel. And two people would be on platforms. Thank you. And they'd have like joust sticks and they would try and knock each other off the platform. So you'd have little Mr. Weakling here and Rhino over on the other platform. And Rhino would be just trying to knock you off. And there would be a clock ticking. Tick tock, tick tock. And you'd see it go down. And if the guy could survive 30 seconds with the Rhino, he'd score some points. But when you're facing a Rhino, 30 seconds seems a long time. Or you're facing the Saracen, or you're facing Hunter. 30 seconds. But you know what they knew was as long as they stood, eventually the bell would go and the gladiator would fall. They just had to stand. Having done all, stand. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at me. Doesn't matter what the world throws at me. Doesn't matter what people throw at me. If I can stand on the platform, I'm going to win. And that platform for us, brothers and sisters, is the word and promises of God. That platform is the call of God on our lives. That platform is what God has said. It's God's word. And it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how frightening the rhino is, or the Saracen, or the wolf, or the hunter. I know. It's just a matter of time and he's going down. And if I can keep standing on my platform, nothing will stop me. James 4, verse 7 says this. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's just that gladiator platform picture. If I can keep standing on God's word, if I resist his lies and his attacks, oh, the number of times. I've been going 17 years now and we're hitting the 18th. After 17 years, things are going to change. And the number of times I wanted to quit after 17. The number of times that it just seemed so hard. It wasn't continuous battering, but the number of times it felt like a battering. But resist the devil and he will flee. You just got to be sure you're standing on the right platform. That's all. The word of God. What God says. resist the devil and he will flee. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5. This will be my last scripture, maybe not. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Do you want to just think for a moment he cares for you? Oh, wow. That's amazing. We can read that, but the God who created the heavens and earths, he cares for me. Cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers throughout the world. Do you know, everybody goes through the same stuff. Everybody goes through the same difficulties, the same disappointments, the same wait. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. James says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. And what happens is God gives you grace. Because the Bible says he gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. And sometimes if you've got the gladiator over there trying to knock you off, you just need a bit of strengthening to hold your ground. And that's when we need just to go to God and say, Lord, give me your grace. Give me your grace. Give me your grace. And there is a river of grace that flows from a throne. And it says in the scriptures, come boldly to it. What does that mean? It means that we're invited. We're invited. Come boldly to the throne of grace where you will receive mercy and grace in your time of need. Having done all, stand. The stand is the decision that you're not going to quit. But you can't do that just in your strength. You have to go to God and say, God, I'm going to stand in the might of your strength. Give me your grace. And then when that grace just fuses with your spirit, the Bible says it's good for a man to be strengthened by grace, not food. So think about it. Food is something you ingest. So grace is something you receive by faith from heaven and you take into your spirit. It's just like you're going to be like Gideon and he'll say, who, me? I'm the weakest in my clan. And I'm the weakest clan in the tribe. But I've decided I'm going to follow. I've decided I'm going to go. I've decided I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to give up. But I'm going to go to God to strengthen me. I'm going to go to God for help. And I'm going to go to God. And we could have a church full of Gideons here. Fulfill in their calling because they ignored their weaknesses, they ignored their faults, they ignored their imperfections, and they said, God, I'm going to follow the call, even though the call is impossible for me, I'll receive what I need in Jesus' name. Amen. Should we just stand? The band like to come up. Let's just pray. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, I just pray for your grace. Give us your grace as we humble ourselves before you. Father, help us to go. Father, that we would go and follow the call that you've put us on. And Father, we pray that you would give us the love, that we would walk by love into that call. And that we'd know your strength and we'd live in the armor of God, having done everything, just standing. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing together.
I am this.